right,
background.
Let me just give you a little background about Mercy College. It's in the New York metropolitan area. It's a minority-serving institution. We have a very diverse population, 10,000 students in 5 campuses. We have a range of graduate and undergraduate programs. 70% of our classes have fewer than 20 students. Our Mercy College was set up to service students who might not otherwise get an education. And when you look at our population, a lot of our population have come from urban schools, where, you know, they need more academic support than other students might have. So we focused a whole lot on smaller class size from the start. We have approximately 220 full-time faculty, and like many tuition-driven colleges, we have 600 adjuncts who we're also, you know, need to consider and engage them in the Faculty Center for Teaching and Learning. Our tuition is low. It's the most affordable private non-for-profit institution in the U.S. Our tuition is about $16,000 a year. Like I said, our mission is to provide motivated students the opportunity to transform their lives. Okay, our mission, if you look at our population, we have a number of our students are working students, students who might not have considered going to college. We offer a lot of programs in non-traditional ways, like, for example, I teach in a weekend graduate occupational therapy program that meets Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Majority of my students are full-time. They either work full-time, have children. And as I often tell Matt, when I feel like complaining, I just have to talk to one of my students and see what their life is like and slap it together. I look at their lives. They have so much more on their plate. And so we work hard to set up our education in that way. Mercy has also, in the past few years, also focused a whole lot on mentoring. We have a brand new mentoring program. There's an achievement contract given to entering students and now transfer students. And that has come with our new presence. So Mercy has been on an upward trajectory. Now, where have we been with academic technology? We have always had pockets of innovation. In the program I teach in, we've used problem-based learning for years. But where has it stayed? In the small program that I teach. E-portfolio was brought up once before, but it never went very far. So there was pockets of innovation. There was no systematic technology plan throughout the college. We had to leverage what was working to benefit all. We just had silos, like many colleges have. And another big issue for us was assessment. With our Middle States report, we needed to really look at assessment. And this opportunity also gave us a good opportunity to assess student learning as our driver. Okay? Why e-portfolios? E-portfolio was something that had been tried before and died because it began with one person. It was only one person. There was no infrastructure. One of the things, I've been at Mercy College since 1994 first. As an adjunct, you just taught a lot. I was called something else. And I became a full-time faculty member in 2001. And what I thought about Mercy the whole entire time was no infrastructure. Lots of great ideas, but we have no roots. And what we're talking about today is just how that has actually happened in a short amount of time. So e-portfolios began as just a conversation in a winter dialogue, which is a group of people getting together and having a conversation about the state of, academics. E-portfolio is discussed as authentic, a useful tool to support our population, especially. E-portfolio is used, it's become more and more a common practice in academia. When you look at our population, we have numerous students with numerous challenges in trying to get them to persist, to really look at their own work. E-portfolio is a fabulous tool when you look at that population where students, I see my own students who do wonderful things, but they forget because they're on to the next thing. They have a baby, they have a job, and so things seem small, but to put it all together and to be able to present yourself in a professional way is really important. The initial committee that was looking at ePortfolio, they focused on the failures of the past. It's not going to work. But the members listened and heard about the possibility to reconsider it. So what began as a little conversation in an ad hoc committee grew to an institutional-wide project in 2 years. And that's really what we're here to talk about, is what kind of infrastructure we set up to make that happen. ePortfolio in under 2 years is used for course developmental work, program assessment, for faculty promotion it's being used. We did middle states reports, and what's not up there is last week our Title V grant, that we have to report on, which we also use ePortfolio for. And it's really become a key part of our assessment program. More and more faculty are using it. And myself, when they first talked about ePortfolio, I was too busy. I was Senate president at the time. Like, I don't have the time. But just watching everybody use it and seeing how useful it's been and people bouncing ideas off each other and seeing the many different ways. You know, I use it in a multitude of ways. I have an online portfolio. I use it in my courses. I use it for student professional development because I teach in an accredited program. So I get an opportunity to use it in a number of ways. Okay, and some of these I've already talked about. A single user, it's not going to go forward because you're not going to light a fire. Getting faculty to see its benefits, is very hard if it's just pockets and you're out there on your own. And there has always been beliefs about our own students. They're not going to use it. It's too complicated. Well, we found out that wasn't so. The technology being too advanced, and most important to me, at least, is that we had no formal faculty development program, and we didn't have the infrastructure to make sure that whatever we started, we could push forward. Okay, Matt's going to talk about infrastructure.
Cool. All right. So again, for those that just joined, my name is Matt Lewis. I'm not Nancy Polishin, who is assigned to teach us. She's sick. And so I'm no Nancy, who's a champion sort of organizer, and that's really, this is a story about, and I'm honored to be here telling you about her story. So again, like what Lori was saying, is it started with a small group of people, and we're talking about the benefits of portfolio and in teaching and learning and assessment. So they attended this summer institute, which was run by Helen Chen and Tracy Pennylight. And if, are you all familiar with, I mean, who is using ePortfolio in the audience here? So there's a smattering of people. So you guys may have heard these names before. So they went to this institute and were just wowed by these people that are pioneers in the field so far. And so they saw the benefits of, in this national interest in ePortfolio. They drink the Kool-Aid, as someone said to me at breakfast this morning. So again, if you, for those that are not familiar with the ePortfolio concept, it is based on the traditional portfolio, where students or faculty are gathering artifacts and they're putting it into a space that's online. So, and they're able to then include all kinds of media and include video and voice and all these rich sort of ways to showcase who they are as students or as faculty. And there was a process, and we'll talk about it a little bit in a minute, of selecting which, tool to use. Because it's really, I'm an instructional designer. I get kind of lost in this is the best tool, and this is really cool. But it's not really about that. And I know at ELI, it's sort of a theme now. What can we do? How are we using it? Rather than what the tool is. So again, we were looking at these learning portfolios and how they can be. I'm just gonna check my notes here. Yeah. The benefits of having them, having students centered, and they're reflecting on their learning, I don't want to read these bullets, but that's basically, it spans courses, it spans over programs. So if people in, the whole program of students are using it. Okay, so let's go on to the next. So then, so this group went to the conference and they learned about portfolio. Then they came back and said, okay, well, we want to choose a tool. And so they began to sort of look and see what's out there. And they looked at all the major sort of vendors and like Digication and LiveTex and, you know, all these big names that you probably have heard of. And they developed this massive matrix and they said, oh, we need X, Y, and Z. So there was a big, there was a lot of thought put into choosing a tool. And this all happened in spring 2009. And, right, so did we mention TaskStream yet? Because that's the tool we ended up going with, was TaskStream. And I think one of the big selling points with TaskStream, and I'm not being paid by them at all, but it was their support. Because, like, if you've heard our background, we're not resource rich. So we needed support, and TaskStream had that almost 24/7 support. So we started to recognize that this group of faculty that went to this conference, they really bonded. They're all, you know, on board with this idea of using portfolio in their teaching and learning. And they started to say, well, what's our goal? You know, what kind of things do we want to do with this, you know, as in this group? And what they started to recognize that this group was a community. And that's you know, and with this goal of using ePortfolio, and so that's sort of what the genesis of this learning community kind of came to us in a way that was around portfolio. All right, so that's, I'll just go to the next one here. So we started to build this idea of a learning community, and it's I'll talk about the literature in a minute, but we adopted this model of having a community. We have an administrative champion, which unfortunately is not here, Nancy Polishin, who's our chief assessment officer, and she is like a master chess player in Mercy College, where, you know, she can really be strategic in pulling resources from this pile and pulling resources from that pile, and has gone to bat with for us.
That's right. And as you look at infrastructure in your own institutions, I was part of the group that went to the Faculty Learning Community Conference in California when we were now trying to move to this model across the college for faculty learning communities. What I was most struck by when you look at our own infrastructure as a college just beginning is we went with a team of faculty, also with an administrator. I just doing things with Nancy, I've gone to many places and not seen that sort of team. And the key importance of, we didn't have to go back to the college and try and convince an administrator that faculty learning communities were useful. We went with our champion, we came back with our champion, and then we stood with our champion in pushing it forward throughout the college. We took the lead when it came to talking to other faculty, and we put ourselves out there to get our own colleagues to come in. Nancy went out there with the administrators to get them to come in. So we had everybody pulling people in.
And Lori referred to a conference that a group went to, and that wasn't a conference, it was an institute. And if you're familiar with Milton Cox and his group that does faculty learning communities, they offer, I think it's once a year, and it's in June in Pomona, California, and you go for like 3 days. And I went this past summer, and it's an amazing experience to be, because they model the idea of learning communities, and it's this cross-disciplinary group of staff and faculty, and they basically have a goal, or maybe it's a cohort of the people that all teach in the same discipline, but it's usually around sort of a topic, and they have a goal, and they have they meet, and they don't have, it's really about the group deciding on what it is they want to do with that, and how to get to that goal. So this was happening sort of the same time as our ePortfolio group was, you know, getting turned on to being, you know, this community. That the group went to this conference. And so it was sort of this combination of things happening together. And I'll just put up some of these theoretical underpinnings that, you know, Dewey and And I think, is it Angelo was actually, is he listed here? No, he's not. Okay, that comes later. I know, it was kind of cool to hear Thomas Angelo speak the other yesterday.
Yeah, just when you take a look at it, like what really happened at Mercy that is really, really important is Nancy kept faculty at the center. Looking at, we often look at how students learn, but faculty learn the same way, basic learning principles.
Yeah.
You know, we all need to be the drivers of our own learning. We need to be the driver of our own faculty development center, as compared to having an administrator being in charge or hiring somebody like someone like Matt to be in charge of it and to plan things where faculty are just consumers.
Right, and just thinking
faculties are, right. They are the leaders.
And if you just look at the slide, it's words like that pop out, like collaboration, empowerment, you know, trust. These are all sort of the key elements of a learning community, a faculty learning community. So we talked about some of the failures before, but now that we have sort of this, we're understanding how our culture is and how people learn, that we were able to sort of, take this idea of the learning community and portfolio and put them together, and that's why we're here now. So with that, I'll go. Oh, I'm doing the leadership, right? Yeah. Okay. So we'll talk a little bit about the leadership, sort of the three. So we talked about the administrative champions, so we have this infrastructure to support the innovation, and then the group that came out of this, we gave it a name and some branding, which is MePort, and that's the Mercy College ePortfolio Project. And so we have our own logo, and we have an administrative team that is mostly faculty that leads it. So it's a faculty group that leads this project. Around the same time, we have a Title V grant that funded a huge renovation to our library. And within that, we built a faculty center for teaching and learning. So this is something new to our college. I mean, faculty development isn't new, but under the umbrella of this teaching and learning center is new. And it's led not by a director, but by faculty. So it's faculty development for faculty. And so we have sort of this, we're building sort of almost a culture, a subculture right now of this faculty-led development.
So we have a council. We have an open, anybody can join Faculty Center for Teaching and Learning Council. And then we have a collaborative of a representative from each school, of which I represent the School of Health and Natural Science. Every school has a faculty in residence. And we get together and we're basically the think tank. We plan faculty seminar day. We're the mediators with learning communities and keep the thing going. And Matt is a part of our group, and Nancy is also a part of our group, and so is Bradley. We all work together. So we have administrators, right. We have instructional designers, and faculty.
Yeah, and Nancy, she's not here to say it for herself, but when she's in these groups, she isn't the administrator. She really plays a membership role. So it's often when we're in the MePort group and we're sitting around and we're talking about what we should do next, or we're discussing some teaching and learning sort of pedagogy, that people will say, I can't say this with my colleagues back at my school, but I can say this now, and it's usually something that's contrary to what the other people in the school would say. So there's this trust that we've built around these communities. So again, and we touched on this a little bit, is inclusiveness. So we don't want people to have to apply. We want people to just come and join us. And again, membership. How many times have I had put a call out for a workshop I'm going to give to have, seven or eight people say they're coming, but then four people come. So it's membership. It's not attendance. So people are, very upset when they can't come to the community meeting for X, Y, and Z reason. So they'll, write me an email, and just, it's very emotional. Like, oh man, I really want to be there.
So with that said, a lot of faculty development is centered around a learning community. So a learning community has an idea. or, you know, they want to grow further. And so you look at Meeport, Helen Chen, Melissa Pete, all like the names in
Helen Barrett, yeah.
All the names in ePortfolio, when they come to the college, the Meeport team is leading the way. Yeah. So the membership group is pushing it forward. It is it's not that Matt put out, you know, we have this amount of money and, you know, we hired this speaker, so please come. Because when it's a please come, fewer people come. But so the faculty team is like pulling in their own colleagues, like, this is going to be great. Didn't you see what I did in my class? It's going to be useful too. So we've gotten a lot more. So that's what he means by membership.
Yeah, membership is more about like people being really excited too about these like we planned the Meeport team planned sort of a mini symposium around ePortfolio, and I know I'm jumping ahead, but it feels like a good time to talk about it. But through a connection in that community, Helen Barrett, who's a big name in this world, there was I think Eileen Brennan had a personal relationship with Helen, and she came to our campus to check out what we're doing with Portfolio, and that was sort of like a really cool, like this was faculty bringing in these big speakers rather than, you know,
than just coming from up above. Yep.
Right. Anything else on here we want to mention?
Well, you know, I think what's really important in there too, Matt, is the development of curriculum modules.
Oh, right. That's
an important concept, because it's just not a faculty learning community where people just come. That there's a plan. And so there's leaders, faculty, as well as staff co-leaders.
Right. So the facilitation team, this Meeport has a team that's sort of the overseeing the group, and we sit down each, you know, before each semester and say, okay, what we're going to have maybe four community meetings, and what kind of basically a curriculum do you want to have in these four meetings? And we build maybe a loose agenda with some, you know, activities that could take place. And I say could because then when you meet in that community, you kind of lay it down on the table and say, here's what we're thinking of doing. Here's the topic. It's focusing on student interactions or something like that. And what, you know, what do you want to do with it? And here's the things we talked about. And often, you know, you'll do that agenda, but then there's times where people say, hey, I have this burning question and I need answered. And so the group will say, okay, let's talk about that. You know, so and sometimes we'll go off on these wild tangents that has nothing to do with Portfolio. Like one time we were, you know, discussing how to use announcements in Blackboard, which is totally off the topic, but the group was like, yeah, we all want to do that. So it's very much a balance as a facilitator. Like I'm a facilitator in these meetings. So you try to stay on task, but then you're going to get a pulse of the room too. Yeah. So that's.
Yeah. And like I said, the other, well, and with that said, because faculty, like I wouldn't come if you just told me you're just going to have a conversation because my time, I have so much to do. Right. But if I see the agenda, okay, this, you know, I'm going to show because this is an important topic. When I get there in the conversation, you know, the group is structured and we have a focus, but if there's another need, that will be addressed, but it's just not freewheeling where sometimes groups like that, you know, you don't accomplish very much. But our teams are very focused, you know, they do have their topics, and a lot of collaborative research projects have grown out of it. Mm-hmm. There's certainly people now looking at creating learning communities of students on WIMBA, because our students tend to come from the tri-state area. Even though it's close in New York City, it could take an hour and a half to get to campus by public transportation. But you know, another concept up there is the rewards-based, no financial compensation, Matt.
Yeah.
That's, you know, because some schools are pay faculty for going to learning communities,
right.
And we don't.
Right, so that's been... So it's a volunteer, and again, it's about membership and about we're tapping into people's interests rather than trying to motivate them with money. I think we're running a little bit slow,
so let's
keep going here. With that in mind, I have to point out that we do have food at every meeting, and that's big. And that's like if I went to the Learning Community Institute, and the first rule they said is have food at every meeting. I mean, forget about all the other stuff, because if you're breaking bread together, you're building that community. But then there's also other, you know, we supply books, or we have, you know, we bring in speakers. You know, we have all these different. We have a space where people can actually meet, and it's dedicated to this, to these meetings. So it's space is definitely an issue at our Dobbs Ferry campus, where it's, you know, we're impacted with students. I think we should move ahead.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Okay. So Lori is going to talk about the impact.
Okay, thank you. All right, our impact. You know, we began in the summer of 2008, and I think the most important message today is where we came in such a short amount of time in a school that's tuition-driven and, you know, a school that needed to build infrastructure. The group that explored ePortfolio was 5 faculty, 1 administrator. Exploring. In the fall, it grew to 9 faculty, and as with anything, as much as you have faculty leadership, you need support. So there were 3 staff involved to help faculty learn ePortfolio and to manage things, and still the 1 administrator, so more definition. In the spring of 2009, we had 11 faculty, 3 staff and 1 administrator, and ePortfolio was piloted. It was begun in small pockets. We had a few licenses. Fall of 2009, we had 33 faculty, and we had 2 learning communities on ePort. In fall 2009, the Faculty Center, you know, we led a faculty seminar day with innovation and collaboration. Very strategically, the faculty and residents led it to push forward the concept of learning community so we grow further. So what we had on that faculty seminar day is we led our community in working in small groups to define what they thought were the most important topics for us to address, then of which we organized, and then of which we've been developing learning communities based upon what are all the faculty who attended feel are the major things that we need to address. Okay, where are we today? The original learning community of ePort is now a facilitation team. They facilitate a number of smaller faculty learning communities on ePort. It's curriculum driven, so each time faculty are interested in learning about ePortfolio, you can join a learning community to support you in the process. That team does strategic planning and the organization for ePort. As you can only imagine, now having 100 faculty in ePort communities, 1,000 students using it, we have to have an infrastructure, even just for that. And this number keeps on growing as people see that it's actually working. And students get used to it. We have it integrated with our learning management system, which is Blackboard. It's integrated into that. You know, a faculty learning community, it's a model of choice of how we're introducing other technologies. I've actually been in a number of these learning communities, so I would learn the technology. For digital storytelling, which is just beginning to take off, iClickers, same deal, though iClickers is easy to use, getting faculty to think about questions and really to begin to use it in depth for promoting critical thinking, a learning community is fabulous because you feed off one another. And Wimba. Wimba has grown amazingly as well. Wimba is some of you aren't familiar with it. It's just simply an online technology so you can run class virtually. So people are using it for a number of different ways. And now we're moving into online teaching. And we have a new learning community related to that. You look at how ePortfolio is being used, it's vast. And that's because of faculty learning communities, people feeding off of one another in 2 short years. It's now becoming, you know, people are thinking regularly about their portfolio for promotion and tenure using ePortfolio, and it's impressive. I did my ePortfolio last summer. I went to a workshop that led to my faculty learning community and was able to start to build it. But the nice part of it was, A, I had other faculty around me doing the same thing. I also had, with the faculty learning community model, we also have the staff support. So, you know, we don't have instructional designers like some larger schools have, but we do have the support for the faculty learning communities. So you see it, I use it for field work and practicum. course learning, portfolios, showcase of student work. Okay, so what's the impact? We've collected qualitative data from faculty, and it speaks for itself. Faculty acknowledge, not one faculty, not just me, across the board. People have confidence to experiment because you got the support. So people who were entrenched in ways and weren't using so much technology are now using multiple technologies and putting a lot of time into it. The sense of the college. Mercy College has gone through a lot of changes in the past. We had a dip in confidence with one president leaving. We have a new president who's really moved the college forward, but with it, there was, confidence was low. The sense of engagement with the college has grown immensely with faculty learning communities and trust. Independent thought, what Matt talked about before, even young faculty who don't want to, make any waves because they're new, they want to go for tenure, they're in their silo, they can come to the Faculty Center for Teaching and Learning, and it's a cross-disciplinary space where people can talk, where the politics that can occur in individual departments isn't there. It underscores the importance of community and learning as compared to my just working on my own work. And the motivation to participate is not financial reward. And I remember when we went to the INSA Faculty Learning Community Institute, a lot of colleges use money. And we're not. And I wondered about that, but you think about how much money you get, it's not that much money. But if you can drive people from, I'm going to teach and I'm really going to be effective.
Has anybody read Pink's Drive? They recommend that book. Yeah. Because it's talking about autonomy, mastery, and purpose are the three things that motivate us. So it's not necessarily money.
Absolutely.
Right?
Okay. And for our students, we've also surveyed our students. And with everything we've done, there's also been an arm of beginning research. 71% of our students who have used ePortfolio have said that they see better evidence of their learning and they like the feedback. It's also pointing us in a direction of increasing outreach and training efforts for our students. Because the students who have used it have overwhelmingly seen the power of ePortfolio, and students who you wouldn't have imagined use ePortfolio are using it. And Matt's going to show a video in just a second, that we need to outreach and we need to have more students use it.
Oh, you want to watch that? Yeah. We have a video that's a minute 50, and it's three students talking about their experience in ePortfolio.
Does Sarandor have any, opposition against ePortfolio? Stop it, because it's everything that you need to continue to further your education in college.
Keep all of your information and build up on top of that, making folders, references from the web, with references from the library, and you can carry that on throughout your entire education is very beneficial because the things that you learn, you're only going to build upon, and a lot of people don't have the access to store, every class that they've taken.
It's like a little flash drive. It's like a little USB.
It's very helpful with connection to my professor, connection to fellow students that were in the class.
I said, intelligence and the way you organize and handle college work
have helped me consolidate all my work across during the whole semester. Being able to communicate with my professors,
I didn't have to wait to submit the project before I could actually get feedback and correct some of the things that I wanted to do within my assignment.
I would definitely use it for research.
If you go out for work, go out for interview for work, it'll be a great place to load up all your projects that I have done for the past 2 years at Mercy.
It's 100%, 110% beneficial, helpful. It helped me out a lot. It helped me with 4-page papers.
I'm hoping that there are more teachers that will be on board with using ePortfolio and TaskScreen?
So my own personal experiences with the faculty learning community model. My teaching challenges. I teach undergraduate and graduate courses. I have diverse population, students from actually all around the world. They're working. They have full-time jobs and responsibilities. They have an old car. They use public transportation. In New York, that means if I live in Brooklyn and I have to get to Dobbs Ferry, it means I take I take a local train, and then I get to take Metro North, and then I have to walk, and it can take hours. And some of them also take a bus before they start the train. I teach a non-traditional program that I talked about earlier, and I do a lot of collaboration with adjuncts because I do problem-based learning, so I have group facilitators. I do a lot of, because it's an accredited program, there's field work attached that I've combined into service learning. So I need the adjuncts, but they also live a distance from campus, and they also have families, so how am I going to engage them? So technology can support me, but, you know, to learn all of this, it's time-consuming, overwhelming, and frustrating, unless, of course, you're a techie, which I'm not, and most faculty aren't. So what did my FLC provide me with, or my multiple FLCs? You know, I had access. I learned side by side. It's the same thing that happens with students when you think you can't go any further and then somebody does something. You say, okay, I could do it. That's a really good idea. It has, in 2 years, I have been involved in learning about teaching and learning for a number of years by the nature of the department I'm in. But the Faculty Center for Teaching and Learning has changed how I think about teaching and learning, and especially how I might use technology and the power of it for engaging my students. I love my cross-disciplinary community. I can talk about things that I would never broach in my own department and my own program, just because everybody has their roles and everybody, you know, has their hot points and everything's about our curriculum. In the other community, they don't really care. You know, it's like we're a cross-disciplinary group across the college. We're in different places. So, you know, it's much more freewheeling. The social modeling, the same thing that happens to students, happens to me and happens to everybody else. I see somebody else, I say, wow, if she can do it, I can do it. If he can do it, all right. So a lot of self-efficacy building. And I have people I hadn't known who are now willing to help me come to my class. I have instructional designers who come to my class, who, when I struggle, they offer me tutorials or they come and help me. And the other thing that's really important as compared to if it came from down high or it came as part of my department, I choose how far I'm going in a particular semester. And right now, I look at what I've created. I also create my own hell, because I've included a lot more technology that I might not have if I had been told I had to do it. But because it's self-directed and it all has to do with the exchange with my students, that pushes me forward. Wimba, from my learning community, it's given me the confidence. I was the first one to use Wimba online technology because it snowed, and I didn't want to not teach that night. So I learned a little bit about Wimba, and my learning community helped me get my class up that night. And from my experience that I did it, people looked and said, wow, for our learning community, Lori didn't even like do that project we said we were going to do, and she was able to get her class up. So they were like, all right, she can do it, we can do it. So, and then you just look at the different ways that people are now using Wimba in 2 short years. We're going to have a faculty seminar day where a number of these things are going to be highlighted to engage even more faculty. With my own students, with the kinds of service learning things I do, where I make students write group protocols, session plans, process notes, they learn a lot, but there's a lot of paper that they never review. We've gone from piles and piles of paper to like a nice, organized portfolio where they can go back and look at their session plans, they can go back and look at all their work, and it's leading to more meta-reflection. My own portfolio, I learned how to present my own portfolio. I have students who are in an interdisciplinary program at a medical college nearby as a capstone project. They're now doing their portfolio for the year. iClickers, a number of you probably use iClickers. my community quickly. And it's constantly being talked about. This past week, I was involved in a meeting with a freshman seminar, a cohort, faculty learning community, and this is exactly what we were working on. They're thinking about using iClickers and engaging even more, and using it to think about, they were looking at critical reading. Okay, so my positive experience with the formal FLCs has led me to have informal FLCs as well. I teach problem-based learning, another place where there's too much paper, but in problem-based learning, people need to do more sharing. And I was looking at all the different ways that students might share. So we explored Evernote and other things, and with adjuncts, we worked on Google Docs. And again, the importance of also having support. I had an instructional designer help me as well and join my FLC to help us learn the new technology. When I look at adjuncts, we have a large population of adjuncts. What's happened is my enthusiasm, belief in the technology, adjuncts who get paid much less, not that I get paid very much, but they get paid less, they're using their own time to explore the technology, and what they're finding, it makes their teaching more doable. They're using Wimba. Service learning, students meet with adjunct faculty and myself. It's all happening on Wimba, where people used to come to campus. Last year, people had to come to campus in the middle of the week or at night or stay late in order to have these meetings, and now they can occur at 10 o'clock at night. So, you know, we have to adjust our schedules a little bit. Okay, sustainability. Certainly, sustainability is a big issue for us. One of the things that's happening with this whole model is we're changing the culture. We had a Faculty Center for Teaching and Learning retreat last week. It was a council retreat, so everybody in the college is invited. One of the topics that came up was that how much things have changed, but, you know, it's changing the culture and it's fictal a subculture. And there's always been resistance to change, and it's very different from how things have been done before. And so this is going to be a continuing challenge. But so we've now become a subculture, a very large subculture, and how, you know, now we have to keep on pushing forward. So certainly, some of our strategies is sharing success and garnering broad support within the college, outside of the college, within departments, within schools. And everything is infused with scholarship. Every learning community that I join, by mid-semester, I've gotten a survey, I've gotten a questionnaire, I've gotten we're collecting qualitative data, quantitative data on your students, please send it our way. So everything is in, you know, some idea of how we're going to engage that. Faculty seminar day, we work really hard to have the faculty learning communities do at least a poster. And then Matt's going to talk about the FIPSI grant.
Oh, yeah. So because of this work with our community and the e-portfolio, the Melissa Pete at University of Michigan asked us to partner with her and these other colleges. So we're being recognized for this work, too, in other ways. And this is going to help sort of become more legitimate, I guess, at our own university. Let's see. So, and I kind of maybe we have 10 minutes left, and I want to just kind of go through these last few slides and then make sure that there's time for questions. But one of the other challenges we're having is engaging faculty, and specifically the adjunct faculty population, which we've said is large. So that's a challenge, and we're trying to offer enough training opportunities to get people sort of to bring them in, and then once they've sort of got to see what the portfolio can do, then they join the community. So that's sort of the way we're trying to build this. And also having opportunities for within our own college to have for faculty to show what they're doing. And I mentioned in the beginning about a mini symposium we had where we invited everyone in the region to come. And so there's more, like, trying to build more opportunities like that. sustaining funding in downturn economy?
Sure.
Yeah, let me just real quick.
Yeah. Seeking funding. Nancy has, you know, been seeking out grants, seeking out collaborators,
yes,
so that we'll be able to continue, because certainly money is always an issue.
Right, right.
And the institutionalization of learning communities is something that I've really learned a whole lot about, is the importance of, you know, not just doing it, but we have a website and we have policies, and so we have our own infrastructure that the administrators see.
Yeah.
We have guidelines for everything. We have our own organizational structure that's published.
Yeah, so that's something that's coming up, is having this more systematic and procedural to create your own learning community.
Yeah.
One of the goals specifically with the MePort, the ePortfolio group, is engaging students in this. And we've designed workshops specifically for students. We had students help us create these workshops. And the sort of the administrative team within this MePort is really focused on, from now, is highlighting student work, which is something we haven't really focused on until now. So that's something that's happening. And then the continued management, was there anything you wanted to say about this?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've mentioned this facilitation team a number of times, and I think that's really serves as a model for our college now, because we have the Faculty Center for Teaching and Learning, which has its own little community, and then different arms that are going to come down from that to be like specific for this tool, portfolio, clickers, you know. So we're going to have a community approach to all the faculty development, or most of it anyway. And then just last thoughts.
Yeah, you know, all of the things pretty much we've talked about, faculty engagement, willingness to experiment.
Right.
But I guess like the idea that stands out to us the most is the pull approach as compared to push.
Yeah.
When I think about all the things where you're trying to push people to do stuff as compared to pulling in membership, engaging people, that's been a model that has really made a difference.
I know Nancy loves when she talks about sort of, we're all going to have pizza, and you're going to all have cheese pizza, but this model is different. It's, what kind of pizza do you want? You can come and make your own pizza. So that's sort of I love that analogy because I like pizza.
And actually the last one I think is also really important is leadership across key groups. We have the faculty, you know, we started the Faculty Center for Teaching and Learning with the director, which wasn't as effective as the collaborative. So there's a voice from each school. MePort has a representative from each school. We work across faculty. There are key representatives. And then same goes for administration. Everybody's at the table, and that's how we're going to get support and keep it going, where it's not something that faculty's begging administration. They're there.
Okay.
All the stakeholders are there.
Well, thank you very much for coming. Really honored to be here telling you the story, and I'm sad that our leaders were sick today.
Absolutely.
But, so thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.